The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary today. Quite possibly the most mysterious feast day of the entire year. Because this feast day is about a world that is yet to come. This feast day is about the future. Allow me to explain, okay? First and foremost, of course, this feast day is about a past event, a historical reality. Here's what we celebrate today. We believe, as Catholics, de fide, definita, dogmatic, infallibly defined teaching of the Catholic Church, that at the end of the course of her earthly life, the Blessed Virgin Mary was taken, body and soul, into heavenly glory. That body, which had given flesh to the Son of God, that body, which gave Jesus the blood that he shed for us on the cross, that body was not to undergo the corruption and the decay of the grave. That's what this feast day is all about. She was taken into heaven. She was assumed. That's why it's the Assumption and not the Ascension. However, that historical fact points to a future reality and a world that is yet to come, because in a mysterious fashion, the Blessed Virgin Mary goes ahead of us, and that all of her privileges that she experienced on earth, in one fashion or another, please God, we're going to experience in heaven. Blessed Virgin Mary is free from all sin. Everybody in heaven is going to be free from all sin. Blessed Virgin Mary is spouse of the Holy Spirit. Everybody in heaven in some mysterious fashion is going to be the spouse of God, because the church is the bride of Christ. Blessed Virgin Mary assumed body and soul into heaven. What do we profess every time we say the creed? We believe in the resurrection of the body. You know, in some mysterious fashion, I have no idea like the chemistry of this or how this works out, but you were made as a human being, body and soul. That's what distinguishes you from all the rest of creation. You're not pure material like a rock. You're not pure spirit like an angel. That's your nature. And as you are created by nature to be, we will be somehow, in all of eternity, when we die and our body goes into the grave and decays, that's not a natural state, the separation of the soul from the body. Somehow there's going to be a resurrection of the body as well. And the Blessed Mother, she just goes ahead of us. She just gets it first. And you know what's interesting about today's feast day? Is that message that Mary goes ahead of us is contained in the first reading and in the gospel. You might find this interesting. You might find this interesting because both the first reading and the gospel today implicitly or explicitly refer to the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Ark of the Covenant. Now, that might require a little bit of memory jogging for any of you who don't remember what the Ark of the Covenant is. So let me just remind you, okay? Ark of the Covenant was the most precious and holy object in all of Judaism. Back in the book of Exodus, God tells Moses to make a box out of acacia wood and to cover this box in gold and to cover the box with two angels that will spread their wings out over this, which has come to be known as the Ark of the Covenant. Inside this Ark of the Covenant was kept the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron, and the manna from the desert. And it was taken to be the dwelling place of God among his people. The dwelling place of God on earth was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what did they do with the Ark of the Covenant? What did the Jewish people do with the Ark of the Covenant? Well, the Ark of the Covenant led them to the Promised Land. And it was way, way out in front of them. I mean, it was like a half a mile in front of them. Go back to the book of Exodus, do the math, translate cubits into feet, and it was like a half a mile leading the way into the Promised Land. When they got to the Promised Land, the Ark of the Covenant was what allowed them to cross over the Jordan River on dry land. And when they entered the Promised Land, it was the Ark of the Covenant that defeated Israel's most potent enemy, the powerful stronghold of Jericho. And they walked the Ark of the Covenant around the stronghold of Jericho 7 times, and the walls, they just fell down. And after that moment, the Promised Land was theirs. And then they took the Ark of the Covenant and they placed it in the great temple of Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God among his people. And then the Ark of the Covenant was lost. When the Babylonians conquered the city, no one's quite sure what happened to it. Some say it was destroyed. Some say it was stolen. Some say it was hidden. But in the book of Revelation, in our first reading, suddenly the Ark of the Covenant's back in the temple again. There it is. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple. They hadn't seen it for hundreds of years. And then it goes on to describe what? It goes on to describe a woman clothed with the sun. And under her feet, the moon, and on her head, a crown of 12 stars. The Blessed Mother is the Ark of the New Covenant. She's the one who brings God to earth. Same message here in the Gospel. Blessed Virgin Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth and goes up into the hill country of Judea, where John the Baptist leaps for joy in the womb at the presence of God in the Blessed Mother. It's a direct reference to the second book of Samuel, in which the Ark of the Covenant goes through the hill country of Judea into the city of Jerusalem, and King David dances for joy before the Ark of the Covenant. So the Blessed Mother, she's the Ark of the Covenant. What does that mean for us? It means the same thing for us that it meant for the people in the Old Testament. It means she leads us to our real Promised Land. And it means that she's instrumental in defeating all of God's greatest enemies. She's given to us as a gift to help us arrive at our heavenly homeland, a gift to help us to defeat powers of secularism, sin, Satan, human weakness, all of it. There's something about the Blessed Mother I can't explain. You've got to experience it for yourself. And it's her power to undo all of our faults and sins and help us to be faithful in following the Lord. All I can tell you is God has given you this gift, a friend in a high place. And we're meant to call on her every single day as we look to the future now, not with fear, but with hope and confidence and trust that God, who's begun this good work in us, is going to bring it to fulfillment. Let's ask for her prayers to help us today. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.